Lord, be glorified in our lives tonight and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Wow. Praise God. I sense the Holy Spirit here tonight. Praise the Lord. You know, there are times. There are times for shouting and yelling and running the aisles. You know, when you look at the ocean, Pastor Ken and Mary Kay took me out to the coast today, and you know, formerly living in Southern California years and years ago, I used to think that was the Pacific Ocean until I came to Oregon. This is the Pacific Coast. It's unbelievable. You can see God's handiwork, His work of art, when you go to the coast here too. And just beholding the waves, and every wave is different. And when the Holy Spirit is in our midst, it's like waves coming in. They can be big, exciting, loud, crashing waves. And then they can be very mellow, gentle, loving waves flowing through this place, through us. And that's like what I believe we've been experiencing the last couple of days. Just the gentle waves of the Holy Spirit flowing through here. Well, thank you, Brother Stanley. Thank you, sir. Have to go to Springfield next. Father, we thank you for this time. We ask you, Lord, already have asked you for your anointing of your Spirit to deliver this brief message tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to, as a very imperfect and very flawed vessel, to bring forth your holy word. Lord, prepare hearts right now, Lord, to receive what's being said tonight, because we do live in treacherous and even dangerous times. And Father, we thank you for it, and grant us your strength and your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please open with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 16. Gospel of John 16. And I was looking at your Sunday paper, the Register Guard, in the commentary section. And I'm sure many of you saw this, the headline: An Epidemic of Fear. Everywhere you look, everywhere you listen in the world, you're going to hear fear, fear, fear. Oh, Ebola, ooh, Islam, oh, ISIS. One thing after another, the media bombards us with. And as believers in Jesus Christ, if we get caught up in this stuff, you're going to lose your joy in a hurry. No matter what network, what cable network you watch, no matter what papers you read, you're going to be bombarded with doubt, fear, and unbelief. Now, it's good to be informed. It's good to know what we're up against. But in the final analysis, the Apostle Paul wrote this: I would know nothing among you rather than to know Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's where we need to be. Zeroed in on the finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary. Because it answers and it blesses and it's every aspect of our lives. It applies to everything we are and everyone. And tonight, first of all, we talked about saving grace yesterday. We talked about forgiving grace. Tonight we're talking about grace to be courageous. John chapter 16, start at verse 29. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now you are speaking plainly, and speak no more proverb. Now are we sure that you know all things, and need not that any man should ask you. By this we believe that you have come from God. And Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Behold, the hour comes, and is now come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Say peace. Peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Get that? Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Does Jesus live in your heart? Then greater is He that's in you and me than he that's out there in the world. Peace. Peace. Talking about grace to be courageous. No one ever wants to be called a coward, right? None of us want to be called a coward ever in life. We'll do almost anything to avoid being called a coward. Remember when you were back in school, in grade school, and people would double dog dare you to do something? Now there's a handful of us in here that did. I dare you, man, I dare you. All right, I'll do it. We got in all kinds of trouble. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I bet I can pick out a couple of you right now. Brother Stanley. No, I'm just kidding. Praise God. Double dog dare you. You know, we would do dumb things, really dopey, stupid things, dangerous things, all to avoid that dreaded word, chicken. Oh, you're a chicken man. No, I ain't. We love courageous people, don't we? In the movies, on TV, in real life, we love courageous people. We despise the cowardly. In every movie, the bad guys are always cowards. In real life, the bad guys are always cowards. The good guys are always courageous. In our families, in our families that are strong, fathers always want their wives and children to see them as being courageous. Because dad wants to be seen as a hero. I know I do. Usually when we think of courage, we think of death-defying acts like our troops overseas. A soldier diving on a grenade to save his platoon mates. Somebody jumping in the line of fire to protect his comrades. We think of police officers risking their lives to protect us. The truth is, it takes an enormous amount of courage, a great deal of courage, just to face the ordinary challenges of the world we live in every day. There's crime here. There's danger here. There's danger and crime everywhere. The world has become a crazy place. If you've lived a few decades, like me, if you've been around a while, you've seen a real change in the way things are. And things are going to continue to spiral in a negative direction until Jesus returns for us. But Jesus said, "Have peace, for I've overcome the world." Every day you and I are making choices. Every day your choices reveal to you that you're either courageous or a coward. And it takes courage to be a Christian today. It takes courage to make a difference in our world. You can only change the world around you if you are changed. Amen? You can only change things if you are changed. I got to be willing to have people say really bad things about me. And they do. And so do they about you because of whom you serve. You got to be willing to be criticized as a Christian, to be questioned, to have your motives questioned, to be called a hypocrite and worse. To make a difference, you and I have to be different. The Bible says we are a peculiar people. Jesus said in John 16, in the world you'll have hardship, tribulation. Notice it's not an option. We're going to have it. It's going to happen, so don't be surprised. But be courageous, for I have overcome the world. The Bible tells us we can be courageous by three things tonight that I want to talk about. Owning up, standing up, and speaking up. First of all, we show courage by owning up. You and I show courage to owning up to our sin. to my sin, to your sin. Owning up. I intentionally chose this word sin because you don't hear it much anymore. From TV preachers, from preachers everywhere, unfortunately. You don't hear the word sin. We call it a mistake. We call it a slip up, a whoops, a boo-boo. The Bible calls it sin. We call it a disease now. It's a sickness. It's a syndrome. It's a disease that he has. It's a syndrome. It's a character flaw. It's sin. We call it a blooper, a blunder, a character defect, flaw, temperament, oversight, lack of good judgment. It's called sin. And the Bible says we have all sinned. 1 John 1:8, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We're just kidding ourselves. Nobody else. Oh man, but I hate to admit my sin. We hate to admit it because we're afraid of other people, about what they'll think when we admit we failed and we fall short of God's standard. I don't want people to know that. But the truth is, in actuality, being able to be honest about your sin, to say, Stanley, I'm sorry. I was wrong. Will you please forgive me? That takes courage. Being able to own up to personal sin, to personal responsibility, is a mark of emotional health and spiritual health. And it's a mark of courage. It takes courage to own up to your sin. Oh, well, I'm just stubborn, Tony. You know, I get that from my mother's side. I get that from my father. I get that because of my red hair, because I'm Irish, and you know Irish people. It's my Irish nature. It's my Lithuanian nature. It's my Polish nature. No, it's the sin nature, brother and sister. It's not the Adamic nature. It's the satanic nature. So let's be real about this. We own up to our sin. See, when you don't admit it, it's cowardice. I know grown men. I've pastored grown men over the years who have never been able to say, honey, I'm sorry. I was wrong. Grown men have never said that. That's cowardly. I'm sure there are people, I would hope not, but there may be a person or two sitting here right now and you've never been able to utter those words. They've never been able to say, I've sinned. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. We don't like to own up to sin. I read about a little girl who was at Disneyland with her family years and years ago. This little girl, little bitty girl, and her older brother walked into, they were in Disneyland, and they walked into a little store that specialized in crystal figurines. And she's looking around at the figurines, and her brother's looking, and she accidentally dropped one, went through her fingers, and splash, glass everywhere. She was shaken. She was scared, and tears started to come. And her older brother, he took it like a man. He ran. The little girl opened her purse, walked up to the store owner, opened her little purse, pulled out the only $5 that she had, and she had great fear and trembling. She walked up to the owner of the store, and she said, "Is this enough, sir?" And the man said, "It's okay, it's okay, you can go." That was an act of courage, wasn't it? For a little bitty girl like that. I know adults who would never do that. Wouldn't even think of it. But it was an act of courage to own up. What are you afraid to own up to? What is it in your marriage that you haven't owned up to and you keep blaming your husband or your wife or your kids? The Bible says in Proverbs 28, verse 13, you'll never succeed in life if you try to hide your sins. Your sin will find you out. The inability to own up to personal sin and responsibility is the great destroyer of marriage. of relationships, of careers. The inability to say, it's my fault, I was wrong, I'm sorry, please forgive me. That's ruined more marriages than you can possibly imagine. But people who make a lasting, permanent difference in life and in the world for good do it out of personal authenticity. Hypocrites, fakes, and phonies and cons don't last very long. But the truth lasts. God's truth lasts. When you live with the truth in life and you're saying, yes, these are my strengths, but these are my faults. And here's where I've fallen. See, Paul, the Apostle Paul, could be honest about his strengths, saying, follow me as I follow Christ. But Paul could also say, I'm the chief of sinners. The Apostle Paul! But I'm the chief of sinners. He was very honest. He wrote it down for posterity so that 2,000 years later, we're still reading about his sins. Courage is owning up to sin. Next, courage is standing up for what's right. We live in a world where there are a lot of moral cowards.
Well, I don't want to judge. Judge not lest ye be judged.
I hear that from Christians. I hear that from the world. That's the one scripture they seem to know. And they take it completely out of context. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, stay true to what you believe. Be courageous, be strong. Very few Christians today are willing to stand up for what's right because you're going to be called a racist. You will be called a homophobe. You will be called this-a-phobe and that-a-phobe. You're a bigot. You have to stand up to it. And maybe in your own lives, things have happened and you didn't point it out. You didn't confront it. You just remained silent. Probably in your mind, you're thinking this, I know it's wrong because the Bible says it's wrong, but who am I to judge, you know? Do you understand the contradiction between those statements? I know the Bible says it's wrong, but who am I to judge? Real contradiction there. I know it's wrong, but who am I to speak up? It ain't my business. Maybe I'll be quiet. It's not my responsibility to let somebody else deal with it. It's not my responsibility. Are you sure of that? Are you sure of that? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, born again, Spirit baptized, this is God's word to good people. Ezekiel 3:18. If you don't speak out to warn the evil person to leave his evil ways, he will die in his sin, but I'll hold you personally responsible for his death. That to me, as a minister, is one of the most sobering verses in the Bible. Who was responsible for the Holocaust? People will say, Hitler! Yes, but everybody else who kept their mouths shut while the Holocaust was going on, they were responsible. God says, when I know the difference between right and wrong and do nothing about it, it is evil. All of us know people in this town and in this area here, who are messing up their lives because they're ignoring God and they're ignoring His will for their lives. They're thumbing their nose at God consciously, spiting Him, saying, I'm going to be my own God and do my own thing. We all know people like that. We love people like that. We have friends like that. You may have family like that. Relatives, co-workers, people in your neighborhood, people you go to school with, and you're not doing a thing about it. Proverbs 14:13 says this, sure, those people appear to be having a good time, but all that laughter will end in heartbreak. If you claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ, there will be times in your life when you'll have to love enough, because you'll have to... There will be times when, out of love, you will care enough to confront. Tough love. Speaking the truth in love. And sometimes we're going to have to go through a dark tunnel of conflict with the one we love in order to speak that truth and to try and get through to them with God's word, but loving them the whole time. Therein is the test. There will be times when you'll have to say to your friend, your family member, your spouse, your parent, somebody that you care about, you're blowing it. I love you, but you're blowing it. You're making a major mistake in your life, and you're on the wrong path. I have to say this to you. I care too much for you to let you blow it like this. I'm not going to let you do it. Because I care about you, because I love you, I'm going to confront you and say that this is wrong. Sometimes love is tough. Love cares enough to confront. Love knows when to keep silent, but love knows when to confront. You go ahead and say, I'm not going to stand by on the sidelines and remain silent. I care too much about you. I love you too much. I care for our relationship too much. It may make you mad as fire at me. Going to make you mad when I tell you this. It may put a strain in our relationship, but I care more about you than I do about what you think about me. Think what you will about me, but I'm going to tell you the truth. That's love. Amen? That's love. If I were to go home to Morgantown, West Virginia, and see my house on fire, and my kids were in there asleep, nothing could stop me from running in to get those kids. People might call me a hero or courageous or crazy. Fire department might tackle me on the way running there. Call me crazy or nuts. Other people might call me different things, but when it comes down to the bottom line, love leaves me no choice. If somebody tries to break into my house in the middle of the night, love leaves me no choice but to protect my family from the evil one entering in. Some of you need to get mad enough at the devil to let him have it. Nope. This is it. This is the final straw. Never again are you going to come and attack my child like this. In the name of Jesus, by Jesus' blood, no. Get out. Where do we get this courage, though, to confront and love? Psalm 119 in the Message paraphrase says this: let your love, God, shape my life. Then I'll be able to stand up to mockery. In other words, to what people think. Because I trust your word, and as I look for your truth and your wisdom, I will tell the world what I find and speak out boldly in public, unembarrassed. Isn't it time that we as Christians came out of the closet? I think sometimes we make our church building our little closet. As important as church is, this is a building, but you and I are the church. When I see someone that I care about making a mistake, going the wrong way, thumbing their nose at God, I'm going to say something about it. I have relatives who haven't spoken to me for several years because of it. It's okay. I still love him. I still talk with him. I still hug him when I see him. Love for God and love for the truth and love for people is the motivation behind courage. Lastly, I have to speak up for Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, if you're taking notes. God doesn't want us to be shy with His gifts, but be bold and loving and sensible. So don't be embarrassed to speak up for our Master. In the New Century Version, it says, don't be ashamed to tell people about our Lord Jesus. Don't be ashamed. You ever notice at lunchtime after church in some restaurant in town, there are Christians who will sit there and boldly pray over their food, and others who pray the headache prayer? And they rub their temples like they're hiding that they're praying, and they don't want people to see them. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord thy God is with thee. Be bold, be strong in the little things and in the big things. Strong in the little things, you'll be strong in the big things. We have to speak up for Christ. The Bible says, always be ready to speak up and tell anyone who asks you why you're living the way you are, and always to do it with the utmost courtesy. Do it in love. You don't use truth to beat people over the head with it. Amen? The truth, this truth is not a gun that you fire at people. It's the sword of the Spirit that you stick Satan with, but it ain't a gun to fire at people. It's not a club, it's not a hammer, it's not a dagger that you stick at people. You do it with love and courtesy and respect. Because God loves that person just as much as He loves you. I know maybe some of you might be, you may be thinking, I know I need to tell my friends and co-workers, family members about Jesus, but man, Tony, I'm no expert. I'm no theologian. You may say, I'm a relatively new believer myself. Or maybe you've been a believer for a long time. I don't know the Bible. I don't know these verses. I don't have them memorized. I'm no scholar. I don't know enough to tell people about Christ. Do you know enough to say, Jesus Christ loves you, and He has a perfect plan for your life? Do you know enough to say just that? There's a powerful witness right there. This isn't rocket science. You can say Jesus Christ loves you. He died on the cross for you to show it. And God has a plan for your life. Here's what Jesus did in my life. The door is open. That's it. See, Jesus nowhere in the New Testament told us to go a-witnessing. We used to say that many years ago in Pentecost. Go a-witnessing. That ain't in the Bible. Jesus said, you be my witness. Big difference there. I've seen some very unloving people who went a-witnessing. I cussed a few out before I came to Christ. Unloving. But there are people who are His witnesses. On top of that, people don't need your knowledge. They need your love. There's an old saying, people don't care how much you know. What they care about is how much you love. We said a couple days ago, you don't argue anybody into heaven. You don't debate them into heaven. You love them into heaven. You express love for people, and you build a bridge of love from your heart to theirs, and you let Jesus Christ cross over that bridge. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to do this. So loved ones, I'm going to, again, here we go, in conclusion. Pray for boldness. That's why we're filled with the Holy Spirit. He gives us strength, power, boldness. God has not given us a spirit of fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but He has given unto us a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a sound mind. Amen.
Act like it.
Do it by faith. Pray for boldness. Ask God for courage. Even the Apostle Paul did this. Paul says, pray and ask God to give me the right words as I boldly tell others about the Lord. Just ask Him for courage. Pray for courage. He'll give it. And then next, expect God to use you. I expect God to use me. You can pray something like this. Lord, I expect and I hope and I believe that I will have the courage now, as always, to show the greatness of Christ in my life here on earth. A simple prayer, a heartfelt prayer like that. God works in your life when you show faith. You expect the courage to be there? It'll be there. Amen? Courage is not the absence of fear, it said. Courage is doing the right thing in spite of your fear. The very fact that you're moving ahead in spite of your fear means that you're being courageous. And this is faith. This is pleasing to God. The Bible says, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Go public. Come out of the closet. Everybody else is. Let's us come out of the closet. Pray for boldness. Expect God to use you. And in conclusion, remember, oh loved ones, please, remember the end of the story. Remember the last book of the Bible. If you believe the media, your local media, or the national media, if you believe the media, you listen and hear what they're saying, and it seems like we are losing the battle. What's the use? The world's coming to an end. What's the use? Don't believe the media. Turn it off. Feed yourself on the Word of God. Feed yourself on good praise and worship music. Feed yourself on good preaching and teaching. Read this out loud to yourself. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Speak it, pray it, act on it, live it. Believe you receive it, and you shall have it. The end of the story is we win. Amen? We have overcome the wicked one by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. So if you have a lost loved one who's running from God and thumbing his nose at God, you speak the word into that young man or young woman's life. Speak the word into their life. And you don't have to say, this is what 1 Peter verse says. No. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you the wisdom to insert the word into your conversation, because the word is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. The word will not return void. You're planting seed. And you do it with love. Powerful, powerful stuff. We win. Jesus Christ is coming back, and I believe He's coming soon. And He's going to settle the score with evil, with the power of darkness. He's going to even the odds. He's going to balance the scales. He's going to balance the books. He's going to reward the righteous, and He's going to punish the wicked. He's going to establish justice. James 5:8 says, take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. Job says, you'll have courage because you will have hope. Sadly, most people in our society, in this community, in our world, are moral cowards. Many claim to be Christian. Most do not. Well, what's right for you, maybe not right for me. I know we're in Oregon, because I heard this in Springfield the last time I was here. In a coffee shop. I might think it's wrong, but I don't want to judge you, and I don't want you judging me. That's moral cowardice for a Christian to say that. It takes no courage to blend in with this culture. None. Cowards follow the crowds. Let's face it. The courageous follow Christ. When I hear people say that it takes no courage to be a spiritual person, to follow Jesus, I want to say, whoa, 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 whoa. Just let me take you on a trip around the world. The media doesn't talk a lot about this, but the fact is, even today, millions of people who are Christian will be tortured, imprisoned, beheaded, murdered, because they name the name of Jesus Christ unapologetically, courageously. And they stand up for their faith. It takes courage, and it's going to take more and more courage here in the United States. You mark my words, it's going to happen. Things are going to get tougher. In countries like China and in Muslim countries, it's a capital crime to be a Christian, but people continue to stand up. Could we? Well, Pastor Ken, I just didn't come to church last Sunday because it was just too cold out. The rain was just, and my bones were aching. I just didn't feel like coming to church. Do you know people go to church in other nations and they take their lives in their hands just by walking to church with a little Bible? What a privilege we have yet still here to be in the house of the Lord. Jesus made statements like, give your life away in order to find it. He said, when someone hurts you, pray for him. Do good to him. Turn the other cheek. Go the second mile. Is that easy? No. Jesus said things like, take up your cross and follow me. In Jesus' day, in the New Testament church of the early days, it was a death sentence to be a Christian many times. Cowards don't last long in the Christian life. They really don't. They wimp out. Do you and I have enough courage to step across the line? Do we have enough courage to go public and profess our faith in Christ everywhere we go? By standing up in your office and daring to take a Bible and set it on your desk. Do you have the courage to do that? That's simple. Do you have the courage to let people know where you stand? And when you see something wrong, you say, hey, this isn't right. You don't say it in judgment, you say it in love, respectfully. But you tell the truth. Do you have the courage to do that? Jesus said, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory. When Jesus comes back, is he going to be ashamed of any of our cowardice? That you or I knew the right thing, but we didn't speak up. No. It's not for me. Not my place. That you knew Christ, but you didn't tell anybody else. Let me ask you this. Who's going to be in heaven because of you? I don't say this to bring condemnation, but really, think about it. Who's going to be in heaven because of you? Because of your life? Because of your example? Because of your witness? Who will? What I'm challenging you to do tonight is this. Dare to make a difference by daring to be different. Dare to make a difference by daring to be different. By caring more about what God thinks than what other people think. Because you only need to live for an audience of one. Jesus Christ. Great people never follow the crowd. Great people never follow the crowd. Never. They take the road less traveled. I want to ask you to stand right now, and we're going to pray together. Please. Let me ask you a very personal question. Who do you need to talk with about Jesus Christ? Who? Think about it. Prayerfully think about it. See them in your mind right now. See their face. Who do I need to talk to about Jesus? Maybe that neighbor next door, the person you work with, the family member that Jesus Christ died for. Who do you need to talk to about Christ? I want you to take an act of courage tonight. And I want you to do something courageous this week, please. Some of you need to say, I'm going to step across the line and I'm going to wholeheartedly follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Okay, what's the other verse that I'm forgetting right now? Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. Amen. Some of you have already done just that. Maybe you've never been baptized in water. You need to do that. That's your public coming out party. I know Christians who've been Christian for many years, never been baptized in water. Water baptism is an outward sign of an inward miracle that's happened in your spirit. You are born again. That's your coming out party. You need to let everyone know it. Many of you need to pray that God will give you the opportunity to share the love of Jesus with the person you know. There's something about making a public commitment, a public statement. Take a courageous step today, tonight, for the rest of the week. Take a courageous step or steps. Do something courageous. We are born again, children of the living God. We are born for such a time as this. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, who loved us and gave Himself for us. Let's bow our heads and pray, please. I want to ask you to repeat this prayer after me, if you would, please, and pray it with all your heart. Father God, I don't want to be a coward. Forgive me for those times when I've been silent. Forgive me for those times when I should have spoken up. I want to own up to my own sins. I'll never blame anybody else again for my problems. I'm not going to blame anybody else for the conflict that I've caused in relationships. I want you, Jesus, to be in charge of every area of my life. I don't ever, ever want to be an embarrassed believer. Help me to stand up for what's right, regardless of what people think. Give me the courage to lovingly speak the truth to people I care about who are destroying their lives by ignoring you. Help me to speak up for Christ and to share your love with those around me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow.